They thought they had only a girl to deal with, and that therefore they could ride roughshod over her. But she would show them their mistake. They wouldn't have dared to have treated her like that if she had been a man. But she would see that her daughter got her rights. She wouldn't be fooled. If they didn't pay her to the last farthing, she would make Dublin ring. Of course, she was sorry for the sake of the artistes, but what else could she do? She appealed to the second tenor, who said he thought she had not been well treated. Then she appealed to Miss Healy. Miss Healy wanted to join the other group, but she did not like to do so because she was a great friend of Kathleen's, and the Carneys had often invited her to their house. As soon as the first part was ended, Mr. Fitzpatrick and Mr. Holohan went over to Mrs. Carney and told her that the other 4 guineas would be paid after the committee meeting on the following Tuesday, and that, in case her daughter did not play for the second part, the committee would consider the contract broken and would pay nothing. "I haven't seen any committee," said Mrs. Carney angrily. "My daughter has her contract. She will get £4.08 into her hand, or a foot she won't put on that platform."
"I'm surprised at you, Mrs. Carney," said Mr. Holohan. "I never thought you would treat us this way."
"And what way did you treat me?" asked Mrs. Carney. Her face was inundated with an angry colour, and she looked as if she would attack someone with her hands. "I'm asking for my rights," she said.
"You might have some sense of decency," said Mr. Holohan.
"Might I indeed? And when I ask when my daughter is going to be paid, I can't get a civil answer."
She tossed her head and assumed a haughty voice.
"You must speak to the secretary. It's not my business. I'm a great fellow, fal de diddle I do."
"I thought you were a lady," said Mr. Holohan, walking away from her abruptly.